It's time for Focus, a weekly public affairs presentation of Simmons Multimedia.
Good morning, I'm Shonda Christensen, and welcome to Focus. This week, my conversation is with Karma Hansen, who is the coordinator for Safe Kids in Grand Forks, and we discuss summer safety with kids being out of school and, in some cases, home alone. So, Karma, can you give us a little bit of background information on what Safe Kids Grand Forks is?
Absolutely. Safe Kids Grand Forks is a part of a network of coalitions around not only the United States, but actually around the world, that was started about 30 years ago. A pediatric trauma surgeon in Washington, D.C. was seeing kids coming into the emergency room and his operating room from what would be considered preventable injuries, falls, motor vehicle crashes, fires, burns, things like that. And he said, you know, I can continue to sew these kids back up or fix them or go out to the waiting room and tell the parents that their children, you know, have died or are going to have a disability because of this. And I use the kind of the air quotes accident. Or he said, you know what, I can try to prevent these injuries from occurring. And so he reached out to many organizations, and finally Johnson & Johnson, the baby product Johnson & Johnson, said, yes, we're interested in helping you to found what it started out as what was called the National Safe Kids Campaign. It's now known as Safe Kids Worldwide. And there are about 440 coalitions around the United States, much like our coalition. And it's also in 30-some countries around the world. And our focus is really on bringing people together around the topic of childhood injury prevention and finding ways that we can help to keep kids safe. And every coalition has a lead agency. And so All True Health System has been the lead agency for Safe Kids Grand Forks since we were founded 29 years ago. But we really bring together any partner under our umbrella of, injury prevention. So it might be law enforcement or fire or news media or public health or game and fish or YMCA or schools, child care centers, anybody who really has any interest in injury prevention for kids. And we say, come be a part of the work that we're doing.
Summer is going to be here before we know it. Kids are going to be out of school, home by themselves, or riding their bike to the park. Let's start off with safety a little bit. Let's talk about kids that are of the age of staying home by themselves. What advice do you have for parents?
Well, thank you for asking that question, and also thank you for acknowledging that summer is here. We in the Safe Kids world talk about the 100 deadliest days of the year occur in June, July, and August. Those are months when kids are out of school. They're in a lot less structured environment oftentimes, and we do see the number of preventable injuries go up. That being said, kids are going to be kids. They're going to play and explore and live and learn and that kind of thing. And we don't want to take the fun out of being a kid, but we certainly know that there are ways that we can make their environment safer for a period in their life that is kind of inherently dangerous. So thinking ahead to kids staying home this summer, we really want parents and caregivers to think about, at what age is my child ready to do that? It's a big responsibility to be home alone during the daytime. And it's really incumbent upon the parents to say, you know, is this child mature enough to make good decisions, not just on an average day, but if the sirens are going off for a tornado warning, or if the house were to start on fire, or if a stranger were to come to the door, or if they were to get hurt, would they know how to respond? And there's not a perfect age at which we can say, yes, this kid is old enough to be home alone, because every kid's maturity level is going to vary. And so we have a book. It's on our website. It's called Safe at Home Alone. And it is a guide for, it's not only for kids with kind of some things that they should be thinking about and some different activities, but it's also got a guide in there that has been put out by the North Dakota Department of Health and Human Services Division that basically kind of gives a guideline of at what age can you leave kids home for a few hours alone during daylight hours. When can they be left home for longer periods of time? When can they be left with, monitoring other kids in their care, be that acting as a babysitter or acting as, you know, an older sibling watching out for younger kids? At what age can they be left home alone overnight? And again, that only serves as a guide because, again, that maturity level varies from child to child and youth to youth. But our hope is really that they would take this guidebook that we have and sit down with their kids and have a conversation and say, you know, to their kids, what would you guys do if the tornado siren went off? You know, and if the kid said, well, I'd go ride my bike over to grandma's house, you know, you might want to say, well, maybe that's not the best decision. You know, here's what you should do and how you should respond. What would you do in a fire? Well, I'd go collect all my baseball cards and find the cat and, you know, pack up my, you know, favorite books and get out of the house. Well, no, that's not the right answer either. So, you know, sitting down and having that conversation of, are they ready for this? And then if you're going to put them in that situation, really guiding them and teaching them how to make those good decisions and what they should do. Now, with that said, we offer a class called Safe at Home Alone. We also have a course called Smart Sitter. And those are two classes that we hold here in Grand Forks, but we've also held them around the region in Northeast North Dakota and Northwest Minnesota that are designed for kind of going through some of those things we talked about. You know, how do you answer the door? How do you talk to strangers that might show up? You know, how do you cook when mom and dad aren't home? And can you use the stove or microwave or that kind of thing? And we do have registration open for classes within our community. And you can find that information on our webpage, which is safekidsgf.com. And the classes, the Safe at Home Alone is geared for kind of that 8 to 11 years old. That class is a three-hour course for $20. And then the Smart Sitter is designed for people who might be starting to babysit younger siblings or other kids. It's a $50 course, and it's a 5.5-hour class. And so you can find more information about those on our website, safekidsgf.com.
Like we've talked about, school's going to be out here soon, and there's going to be more kids out playing in the yard, riding their bikes. Can you talk a little bit about safety efforts that need to be made when driving down the street or backing out of your driveway, as well as kids even wearing bicycle helmets?
Yeah, absolutely. So during the summertime when you've got kids out on bikes, it's important that not only kids but adults as well wear a helmet. We only get one brain. I'm a nurse by background, and I know that if we have a patient come into our ER, we can fix up a skinned up knee or elbow or a broken arm or that kind of thing, and they heal with very few side effects or consequences to that. Brain injuries are a totally different animal. They are very hard to fix, and they can have lifelong consequences. And when we go into schools, we talk to kids about, you know, what kind of things the brain controls, from seeing and smelling and talking and remembering and taking tests and moving your hands and your arms and your coordination and your balance and our heart beating and your lungs breathing and even going to the bathroom. And, you know, so as we talk about those things, your brain is kind of the command center for everything else in your body. And an injury to that brain can affect you, not just immediately, but can really have lifelong consequences. And so protecting it with a helmet is really important. Bike helmets are about 85% effective in reducing trauma from a head injury from a bike crash. And so whether you're an adult or a kid, it's important, since you only have one brain, to get that helmet on. We make helmets available at a reduced price for people, $8. We can get a multi-sport helmet, which would be for things like scootering and skateboarding and rollerblading, for a $12 donation. And if there's somebody listening to your show that can't afford a helmet, they can contact us at Safe Kids in Grand Forks, and we will get them a helmet because they're super important. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you're out riding a bike. If car meets a bike, car's going to win every time, even if the biker had the right-of-way. And so you don't know when those crashes are going to happen, so having it on every time is important. There are different types of helmets for different types of sports. A bike helmet is worn strictly for riding a bike. If you have a young toddler that's riding on a tricycle that has the two wheels in the back and the one in the front, they're apt to tip over backwards. And so a toddler helmet, or you might hear it referred to as a trike helmet, comes down a little bit further in the back of the brain to protect the lower brain stem area of your head. And then a multi-purpose helmet is one that it protects the part of the head that, again, on a rollerblade, you could tip over backwards and fall down and hit that back lower brain part of your head. And so that comes down a little bit further on the head to protect that area. You can wear it to scooter, skateboard, rollerblade, but you can also wear it to ride a bike. A bike helmet really is designed just for riding a bike. And then any of those helmets really are not designed for anything motorized. So if you have people riding on a motorcycle or a side-by-side or a Razor or a golf cart or ATV or whatever, it's really intended just for those non-motorized sports. Now, you mentioned backovers. Every summer, you hear tragedies of children that are backed over in a motor vehicle. There are very, very large blind zones behind cars. And there is an organization called Kids in Cars, and the founder of that company is a dear friend of mine. Her story began when she was home unpacking groceries out of her car and got hit over the back of the head and thrown into the trunk of her car. The person stole her car and took off, stopped momentarily, and it was they realized there was a baby in the back seat. They threw the baby in the car seat out on the front lawn, and my friend was taken out into the woods in California and left in the trunk of the car for dead. Now, she survived that, but what she came to realize is that there was no way for a person to get out of a trunk of a vehicle if they were entrapped in it. And so she was a part of the group that helped create the trunk release latch on cars that you now see standard on all vehicles. And she has also pushed the envelope with technology to try to say, we need backup cameras or technology on cars, because unfortunately we have kids getting driven over in their driveways. It might be by a parent that didn't realize they were there, or by a neighbor. And so doing that walk around the car before you back out, checking for things like balls or bicycles or kids, is really important. And then if you're in a place like a farmyard where, say, there's equipment coming and going, particularly big trucks or bobcats or farm machinery, that people know where kids are at and that kids aren't just allowed to kind of play all over that farmyard, but maybe have a designated spot in a grass or in a fenced-in area, because a lot of times people driving that big, heavy equipment are not able to see young kids, and so those backover injuries occur.
Continuing on with car safety, heat stroke in kids is a real thing. Parents get sidetracked and forget that there's a kid in their car, or they run into the grocery store quick to grab something. Can you talk about ways to prevent this from happening?
Every summer, unfortunately, around 42 children on average die of the tragic incidents of heat stroke. And most often, about 54% of the time, that occurs to children who were forgotten in the back seat. Now, when we start having this conversation with parents, a lot of times what parents will do is they'll put up their hand and say, I would never do that. I'm a good parent. I'd never forget my child in the back seat of a car. And what I will say to you is those are the kind of people that I'm most afraid of it happening to, because I think we all need to be vulnerable enough to say, oh my gosh, this could happen to me, and how do I take the steps necessary to assure that it never does? That being said, there have been tragedies like this that occur to doctors and lawyers and nurses and principals of schools and all kinds of people. So it's not just bad parents. What happens is when you put kids in cars, they need to be in the back seat because of airbags, and oftentimes those kids will fall asleep. Now, if there's road construction, or maybe you take a different route to work, or maybe you're in a different routine that mom normally drops off and dad does today, you get out of that routine. What happens is that sometimes you get to work in your mind, you know, you think of those parents that have young kids and they're sleep deprived. They've maybe been up all night feeding baby or whatever, and they're just exhausted. And in their mind, they've dropped the child off only to come back at the end of the day to pick up their child, and they say, well, they haven't been dropped off. And the temperature inside vehicles gets to be about 40 to 50 degrees hotter than outside. So on a 70-degree day, it could be about 120 degrees in that car. And kids' body temperatures overheat about 3 to 5 times faster than an adult. So the temperature inside that vehicle can get dangerously hot very, very, very quickly. And so there are a couple steps that we encourage parents to take to prevent heat stroke deaths. The first, we call it ACT, A-C-T. The first one is avoid. So avoid heat stroke or other heat-related injuries by not leaving your kid alone in the car. Now, we have had situations where a child is left intentionally in a vehicle where they have gone in to run a quick errand. They meet somebody in the grocery store, and all of a sudden that quick visit turns into a lot longer visit. We had some deaths that occurred west of Grand Forks several years ago of some kids who got out of their car seats and they put the car in drive and the car went down an embankment into water and the kids drowned. There have been vehicles that have been stolen with kids in them. There have been situations where the car runs out of gas or it shuts off after a period of time of not driving and just idling, and all of a sudden that car that you thought might be staying cool has now gotten very hot. And in about 20 minutes, the temperature in that vehicle goes up about 19 degrees, and it can get, like I said, as hot as 40 to 50 degrees hotter. So avoid situations like that. So make sure that you take your kids in with you and don't leave them in that vehicle. Create reminders. That's the C. So do something so you don't forget that child back there. There are car seats that have a clip on the chest that has a sensor on it that if you leave that child in the car and you shut the car off, the sensor will alarm. It'll send an alarm to your phone so that you don't forget. You could put a shoe in the back car. You're not going to go walking into work or the store without a shoe on. Set your purse back there, your phone back there. Set a reminder on your phone. So 5 minutes after you normally get to work, did you drop off baby? We have little orange clings that can go on the window as a reminder to check for the child in the vehicle. So that's the create. And then the T part of the word act is take action. And it's really imploring the public that if they see a child alone in a car, that they do something about it. Now, if they can't immediately locate the parent, what we say is to call 911. Emergency personnel will come to the scene of that car. They know how to break and enter into a vehicle without injuring the people inside of it. And then they will also, you know, talk to that parent about, you know, whether they did this maliciously or not. Always err on the side that those kids can be fine and within moments can turn from being okay to not being able to breathe and their temperature overheating to the point where their core temperature causes them to die. So don't sit around and worry about breaking a window or about getting anybody in trouble. Take action, and what you do may or may not save a life that day.
And on a closing note, could you reiterate how important it is to watch for kids and summer safety?
Yeah, absolutely. So summertime is a time when kids are out of school. They're out of that kind of that controlled environment of a school. They're out playing. They might be going to the pool or to their friend's house or to a ball game, playing in the yard. And kids are impulsive. They don't necessarily think about the consequences. They don't have the same life experiences that we as adults do to say, oh my gosh, if I run out in the street in front of that car, he may not be able to stop. Kids don't have the ability to judge depth. How far away is that car and how fast is it coming and how quickly will it get to me? They are so reliant on us as adults. And so pay attention. Slow down your vehicle. Put your cell phone down. Don't be talking on it or texting. Don't be having a pet on your lap or things like that that are going to distract you. Our kids are counting on us to watch out for them. And during summertime, they're going to be out and about all over. So take some extra precautions and slow down. Don't drive distracted and watch for those kids who may not be watching for you. And I would just say, you know, we have a lot of information on our Safe Kids website, safekidsgf.com, or you can like us on Facebook. And if anybody has any questions or ways in which we can help, Safe Kids Grand Forks covers Northeast North Dakota and Northwest Minnesota. And so reach out to us by calling us at All True Health System. Our number is 701-780-1489, and we're happy to help in any way.
Remember, you can hear the podcast version of today's program and all of our past shows by clicking on the Focus link at myborderland.com. For Focus, I'm Shonda Christensen.
You've been listening to Focus, a weekly public affairs presentation of Simmons Multimedia Stations. Time is available for responsible opposing viewpoints. Contact the Simmons Station at 701-256-1080 for more information. Join us again next Sunday morning at this time for Focus.